Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the different strokes effect.
Get it?
Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. Opening the show there was Gloria Estefan, Hotel Nacional. Oh my goodness, can you believe Mama is still making music in this century? I can't believe it, but you better believe it because it sounds sick and it sounds present. So I want to say welcome back to the game, Mama Gloria Estefan. That is her new single from the album Miss Little Havana, which unfortunately isn't out in Australia yet, but you know, it came out sometime last year and response wasn't that great in America, so hopefully they haven't shelved it completely on an international level. Now, in tonight's show, seeing as, you know what, every time I hear Hotel Nacional, I'm usually in my bedroom somewhere dancing and feeling like I need to go on holidays, somewhere warm, somewhere nice, somewhere where it's always summer. Now, as you guys probably know, my co-host Jade is currently in America having a good old time. Here am I stuck in Melbourne where it looks like it's about to pour any time, any day. And I'm desperate for a holiday, you guys. And I've been thinking, see, this is what happens when you get back to work in January and you've got, you know, and it's a little quiet. This is what you do. You get back to work in January and you start checking your leave balance. That's right. Because I need to plan my holiday. I need to get away somewhere, you guys. I need to go somewhere this year and I need to know that I'm going to be paid. I'm going to have enough paid leave to leave. So while I'm considering my leave balances at work, I want to hear some suggestions. Where do you guys think I should go on a holiday? If somebody says like it's somewhere in South America, ding, 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 I'm with you there. Let me know your suggestions of where you think I should go on a holiday. You can text in your responses 0427 JOY 949 or you can email onair@joy.org.au. Where should Limonce go on a holiday? Ooh, sounds like a good segment for a game show.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. On tonight's show, I'm joined with a very special guest. He is probably, and because I'm such a good authority on things like this, he is probably one of the most exciting upcoming local indie electropop artists, I have to say. So I'm talking about Ignatius. He is currently on Triple J's Unearthed as one of the upcoming, you know, names in the electronic music scene. So I've got him in the studio with me tonight to talk about his debut EP, Lo-Fi. Hello, Ignatius.
Hello, how are you?
I am great. So tell me about you. Where did you come from? What's with you in doing music?
I've been doing music for quite a long time, ever since I was really, really young. I got my first kind of electronic keyboard when I was like 5 years old, and kind of I've been developing my interest in electronic music ever since then. I did a whole lot of like instrument training at high school, and yeah, it's just sort of come to a point where I want to start doing things kind of a bit more, you know, out there and kind of...
So put yourself out there as an artist.
Yeah, as an artist. As like someone everyone can sort of like access rather than making music in my bedroom. You know, I want it to be like...
Even you want the fame.
I want the fame. Even if it's made in my bedroom, I still want it to be kind of, you know, available to everyone else as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And in this day and age where, you know, it's so accessible for people to get music on the internet and for artists to put music out there as well. I mean, I understand your new EP is on Bandcamp at the moment.
It is on Bandcamp. I am ignatius.bandcamp.com. And the album is there on a sort of pay-as-you-like basis. So if you don't want to pay anything at all, you can just enter $0. I'm totally cool with that. So
look, I paid an actual sum for this EP. And let me just say, you guys, come on, don't be so tight. You and I, we all live in a first world country. We can pay for an EP that's made in Melbourne in some guy's bedroom, okay? Like, we can, you know, pay for coffee. We can afford to pay for this EP.
Yeah, and you can pay whatever you want. So if you think it's worth less than a cup of coffee, then you can pay less than that if you really want. Yeah.
But the point is that people can go on Bandcamp and listen to your new EP.
You can listen to it for absolutely no commitments there.
So the beautiful thing about your sound, if I can delve into it now, is that I love electropop music. Yep. I mean, I'm generally a lover of R&B music. I love a bit of soul. I love a bit of electro as well.
Yep.
And normally if somebody comes up to me and say, hey, this is a new indie electro record, I'll go, oh, I bet you I have heard this already. Because indie electro feels like the sound now, don't you think?
Yeah, it's kind of, a lot of it takes a lot of inspiration from this sort of 80s new wave kind of sound. I would say mine's a bit different influence. Like, I'm influenced by sort of the same things that you just mentioned, kind of like soul, R&B, like 80s R&B and soul, where they sort of picked up synths and were like, hey, these sound really amazing. We can use this to create like a really thumpy bass or something like that.
The beautiful thing about your music as well is that there is an 80s element, but you've described it as honest, unpretentious, and enjoyable.
Yeah, I felt like I didn't want to make anything super serious. Musically, it's kind of like I'm getting really, really inspired by Italo Disco, which was big in Europe in the late 70s through all the way through the 80s. Midnight Star and Five Star, those are two sort of acts. A lot of sort of Madonna kind of style things in the...
We should say early Madonna, probably early,
yeah,
not...
Sorry. Early
not hard candy Madonna.
No. Like early Madonna, kind of like the Stock Aitken Waterman days where they're sort of like, you know, super, almost bubblegum pop kind of style.
It is really cool that you mentioned that because one of my friends who heard your tracks has commented on Facebook that, oh, you know, it is a little SAW. It has that vibe to it. And I appreciate that so much because I feel like no one has come forth and made... camp and bubblegum pop as good as, you know, SAW has, and I like that you're coming with that reference.
Yeah, I'm really playing into that because I really love how they take the same chords and they kind of turn it into something amazing, like something new and amazing with these different
sounds.
It's
always the same few chords.
And it's the same few chords, but it's my EP is not quite like that, but I really love that idea of how simple it is, but you can make something catchy and memorable and kind of...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, one of the tracks in your EP is actually a remix. So I don't know if this is intentional, like you're putting the remix out first before the original cut. Tell me about that.
I am actually putting out the remix before the original cut because it fit the album better. And I really liked that it was something to do, like back in the 80s, you'd often find like bootlegs of remixes out before the actual original thing was available. So the original was available. So I really wanted to sort of keep that bit alive a little bit.
So it kind of gives people something to look forward to with the next EP.
Yeah, the original version will be coming out possibly in the next EP, maybe the one after that.
Now, you have this... I don't know if I should be spilling this, you guys, but Ignatius has, you know, a couple of EPs coming out in this year.
Yeah, they're all going to be coming out this year.
So this is the first of what,
this
three?
This is the first of, I think, three, maybe even like a single as well, maybe.
Ooh.
So it's all sort of like the very start of my musical journey and career, really, so...
It's a good time to jump on board, tastemakers.
Exactly.
That's exactly what we're trying to tell you. So, Ignatius, congratulations on the debut EP.
Thank
if you guys want to get it, you can go to
iamignatius.bandcamp.com.
Pay what you like. And remember, cup of coffee.
Or nothing. I'm absolutely cool with nothing.
Or nothing. Just go and enjoy the music is what we want to say.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9. We are a media pop culture show, so naturally, you're going to hear us talk about things like blogs. You're going to hear us at Different Strokes talk about things like apps. Now, in terms of apps, tonight, I am bringing to you Flipboard. Now, for those of you who are, you know, really tech savvy and really up with the business, this is not really news for you because Flipboard has actually been out since the year 2010, but it was originally created just for the iPad. Now, sometime in December, they actually launched a version for iPhones and iPod touches. And so, you know, basic mere mortals like myself who can't afford those big fancy iPad-y things, we can get Flipboard too. So basically, what is Flipboard? It is a social magazine app that what it does is it plugs all the content from your social networks. We're talking things like your Facebook feed. We're talking about your Twitter feed, your Instagram, things like that kind of update. It takes all that and puts it in a flip kind of app where you could just use your finger and flip through like you would on the page of a magazine. Now, what's really cool about it is that you get to not only get all your, you know, your social media streams and everything in one handy place, it will also give you content based on categories that you're interested in, like design, technology, travel, and music. So it kind of looks a lot like a magazine, but it's stuff that you care about and stuff that's, you know, content that's generated by, you know, things you've subscribed to. So it's really your own magazine in a way. Now, what's been really good about Flipboard and what a lot of people tend to bang on about Flipboard is the design. The appeal is that it's got this intuitive design where you use your fingers to flip it like you would the pages of a magazine. Now, as y'all know, you know, flipping a page is the most natural thing you can do, really, when it comes to reading. We've been trained from a young age, you know, when we basically start learning to read, how to turn a page, how to flick a page. So it taps into that very intuitive habit of flicking and, you know, developing that into an app. And I know a lot of, you know, touchscreen phones and a lot of smartphones and things like that have worked with a similar concept. But, you know, sometimes when a piece of feature like that develops and becomes so mainstream, we don't really kind of pause and consider how, you know, why is it that we like it? And why is it so user-friendly? You know, sometimes when a friend comes to you and says, oh, you know, you should definitely get that app or you should definitely use this website because it's user-friendly. You know, we kind of have to pause and consider what is it about that thing that makes it so user-friendly? And I find that in a lot of the times that I think about what's user-friendly to me, it always comes back to what comes naturally to us as humans, as readers, as consumers. You know, what is easiest? What kind of functions come most natural to us? And that includes flicking a page. In terms of the visual element of Flipboard as well, I have to say, you guys, I'm a very visual person. So give me an app full of text. Give me an app with barely any pictures and it is not going to work. I'm sorry. I will close that window down. I will delete that app. It's not happening, you guys. So the good thing about Flipboard is that it's very visual based. So, you know, on the forefront, you get these boxes. I'm looking at it right now. But if you guys don't have it, you should get it. It basically splits your phone or your screen into 6 or 4 sections. It's got a cover story at the start and you flick through it and there's images that denote the different categories. Like for music, they might have a picture of Florence and the Machine or something. For the Facebook section, it might have a picture of a photo of something my friend had posted, perhaps. So it's very visual. And if you want more, then you tap on it and it takes you to the actual post itself. So you're not inundated with all this information and all this text when you look at it. So on the forefront, you're just browsing because really, as readers, we're kind of trained to browse. You know, you do it all the time when you go to a bookstore, you pick up a magazine. Girl, you're not really reading. Don't kid yourself. Don't kid anyone else. You're not really reading. You're scanning. That's what you're doing. You are scanning. So in the same way, why would you open up an app with all this information when all you want to do is just scan? So if you're interested, if the picture grabs you, then you go in and you investigate a little further. So that's one of the beauties of it as well for me, from a design perspective. It's not text heavy.
Culture, the attitudes and behavior characteristic of a particular social group.
Welcome to Different Strokes Culture.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, trolls. What can we do about it?
Trolls, Jade. I mean, they're all over the internet, everywhere, all the time. It's happening. And I feel like this is not a new thing. This is not something that's developed this year or, you know, even last year. I think for as long as the internet and fan forums and things of that nature have been around, you know, we've had trolls.
Yeah, and, you know, Dave, like, I often hear people saying, like, you know, they have an encounter with a troll and they're just like, I hate the internet for this reason, you know.
Yeah, all that, exactly.
Like. And I love the internet, and it's, and, you know, I'm very, very diligent, I should say, about reporting people who are trolls and all of that on Twitter. Like,
I didn't know that.
I see that as, you know, you're ruining our community.
Okay, so before we go further, we should probably explain what a troll is. A troll is basically someone who posts inflammatory comments or, you know, raise inflammatory topics on web forums, chat rooms.
Basically, they're trying to get a reaction out of you. They just go on there and then, you know, sling some mud around and see what sticks effectively.
Yeah, so, you know, often the comments are off topic, not even related to what was being discussed on the thread. You know, they can be quite vicious.
They can attack people.
Very, very dismissive. Kind of tone. It's not pleasant. So I'm sure we've all seen examples of that in the comment section.
You know,
of things.
Like, one of the most disturbing things I've noticed, Dave, is trolls on Twitter. I mean, obviously I spend a fair bit of time on Twitter, but the trolls on Twitter that are now, like, you know, purposely out to get reactions out of celebrities, or, you know, they'll go on and just, you know, basically if you go click onto their feed and you read through their feed, it's just like, I'm going to attack that person, then I'm going to attack that person, then I'm going to attack that person. And it's effectively the same tweet over and over again, just aimed at a different person to try and get a reaction out of them.
It's really just, I don't understand how people can be so negative, because I'm not that type of person. You know, I'm not that type of person who actually finds that kind of negativity funny either. You know, I love sassiness. That's my thing. I love sassy and I love people throwing shade and all that. But this is a different level.
Yeah, this isn't sassy and it isn't.
It's not intelligent.
Yeah, it's more like, you know, it often turns into derogatory stuff about the way someone looks, or, you know, it's. Sexuality is always brought up, of course. You know, it's really lowest common denominator stuff. And it's such an awful. For me, it's such an awful disconnect, because that's a person at the end of that, you know, and the fact that you want to spend your time, you know, basically making someone feel bad about themselves, like, you've got to understand the, and I mean, I guess I'm kind of starting to think of people, you know, experiences of people I know who are quite big on the internet, like someone like Heather Hogan, for example, or our friends at Rofi, have both had experiences of trolls basically attacking them personally based on something that's their opinion. You know, and that kind of, and obviously knowing those two people quite well, hearing how
two people, well, that really is three, because we consider Rofi to be one entity.
Of course Rofi is one entity. In hearing them talk about their experiences and how that affects them personally, you know, to know it, how can someone out there just be throwing that?
It is actually bullying. It really is bullying when it gets to that stage. And cyberbullying is something that has been talked about a lot in recent times, and thankfully so, because I feel like for many years, it's been kind of brushed off and people didn't really know how to handle it. People maybe weren't talking as much about it. But, you know, we've heard a lot of cases of, in the news, there's a lot of focus on teenagers getting bullied and committing suicide. So there's a lot of awareness on it now. But still, a lot of people may not take it to that level and may not be as affected by it. But you still need to know. I think it's important for everyone to kind of know what a troll is, how to kind of address it, and how to Just shut it down.
Well, I'm interested in your tips on this because I know you've had experience with trolls as well. So,
well, I run a pop music blog called Feed Limmy, and it's not like, you know, a breeding ground for great discussion or comments, because mainly it's just my opinion on things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I have people that read it and usually agree with me, but sometimes I will post on a particular kind of artist. Let's just call them out.
Yeah.
I would maybe post on Vanessa Amorosi,
yeah,
or Guy Sebastian.
Typically Australian.
Yeah, yeah. I find a lot of Australian artists, mm-hmm, because I'm an Australian blogger, I find a lot of Australian musicians have very strong kind of stands and very strong kind of, mm-hmm, you know, fan base online. And some of them really do troll the hell out of my posts.
Yeah.
It's really ridiculous. Like, I remember, I would probably never forget this. I remember doing a review on Vanessa Amorosi's Gossip video, and I wasn't reading her to filth. Trust me, I could have if I wanted to. And a lot of my pop music blogger friends would often have the same response. They would be like, I was actually holding back, but look at these trolls just attack.
Yeah.
You know? So it's not so much that these trolls disagree with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they find that I wasn't agreeing, or I wasn't, you know, generally loving it.
Yeah.
They didn't care that I was giving constructive feedback. They just care that I didn't love it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it all came out, and I'm sure a lot of other kind of forums and stuff would have representation of, you know, these kind of negativity anyway. But there are ways, if you are already part of the discussion, don't leave. Don't say, oh, you know, because trolls are here, I'm going to leave. That,
yeah,
that only makes it worse.
Yeah.
So there's a few ways you can handle trolls.
Mm-hmm.
And I find them to be the most basic kind of tips I can give are actually ones very similar to what Mama Lim told me when I was
Mama
in high
Lim,
school.
Such a wise woman.
She is very much beyond her years and capabilities, I feel sometimes. You know, she gave me these tips on handling bullies when I was in high school, and I would just rehash them now in, mm-hmm, the context of an internet forum,
mm-hmm,
if you see trolls.
Yep.
I think the first thing we need to do is to actually ascertain whether that person is a troll or not.
Yeah.
Or maybe, you know, sometimes people are just negative and they're just stressed and they would just lash out. But a troll is someone who just consistently will just attack. Do you,
yeah,
know, you know what I'm talking about, Jay?
Mm.
So ascertain whether this person really is a troll,
mm-hmm,
but always keep a good sense of humor. You would find that if you, you know, don't get fired up with them. That's the thing. Don't get fired up with them.
Do you
them.
Think it's even worth engaging with that person, Dave?
That's the thing. That's another thing I wanted to say as well. Ignore it and continue the original discussion.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the simplest, best thing you can do. Sometimes complimenting a troll can work. You know, I remember Kelly Rowland, very wise woman, prophetess,
yeah,
spiritual leader, Calendra Treen Rowland, once said, kill him with kindness.
Oh,
kill him with kindness.
So full of wise words.
She is graceful Southern belle that she is.
Mm-hmm.
She may be singing about, you know, having sex on a dance floor, but she is all class sometimes.
I'm sure that graceful. She gets her fair bit of trolling too, you know, the Beyonce stans calling her out, all that kind of thing.
It must be really hard to be a child of destiny, yeah, when it's commonly recognized as only having one child of destiny.
Mm-hmm.
The other children, I mean, come on, the spare a thought for
to
them.
To be the black sheep in that family.
I know it is hard. But look, there are lots of ways you can handle a troll, but I reckon ignore them is the best thing, mm-hmm, you can do. That's all we've got time for this week. Boom. That went by real quick. Just quickly before we go, that boy James has tweeted us saying, the trolling segment is making me wonder if I'm becoming one or if it's just me being snide. Well, well, well. Who knew? Here at Different Strokes, we can inspire a little bit of soul searching. But all I'm saying is that, you know what? There's a lot of negativity on the internet and it's easy to throw shade here and there. And trust me, if you follow me on Twitter, you know that every now and then I like to throw a little bit of shade, you know, say something a bit snide here and there, a bit narky. But you know what? At the end of the day, you got to check yourself, check your attitude. Embrace positivity is all I have to say. Do everything with love. Do everything in good humor. It's a state of your heart and it's a state of your mind. So as long as you're embracing positivity, you can throw a joke every now and then. Nobody's going to care. It's a state of your heart. Man, David Lim better preach.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.